There's a thousand pretty women waiting out there. They're all living the devil may care. Well, I'm just a devil with a lot of despair. So viva Las Vegas!
Thank you, Wayne Newton, for that fabulous intro. You're listening to Cats with the Dish. This is John Katzlamitas. I write the Cats Report in the Las Vegas Sun, Las Vegas Weekly, LasVegasSun.com, LasVegasWeekly.com, and all the titles in Greenspun Media Group. Look for that Penn and Teller story I wrote on the cover of the new Vegas magazine. And joining me is the reliably beautiful Trish McCrone. Trish, take it away.
Crowd goes wild. Okay, there's nobody here.
That's your impression of a crowd going wild? I thought it was an impression of something else.
Hi, Kenzie. That's my wild sex phone operator.
That's you?
Not very hot.
I owe you some money.
Or my obscene caller. I'm not sure which it is.
The obscene answer.
I hear you breathing.
So, the Super Bowl Sunday,
yes,
by the way, my 49ers.
Yes,
my
and 49ers. All I know is I want the 49ers to win.
The 49ers have to win.
They have to win. I will not bet with you on this because...
You don't need to.
Yeah.
I'm going to bet everything that moves anyway, so... I'm going to be live blogging. Have I told you my plan for the Super Bowl?
No, you have not. You have not shared anything about the Super Bowl.
Because this just came up in the last day or so. I'm going to be writing live from what I call the greatest party ever. The greatest party ever, which is Jeff Mollett's Super Bowl.
I was just about to say, you go to Jeff's party every year. Okay.
It's Jeff Mollett's Super Bowl party. Jeff is the personal assistant of Carrot Top, our friend Scott Thompson. And last year I was at this party and I'm sitting there watching the Giants and Patriots play. And I look over and Scott Thompson, Carrot Top, is sitting next to Geechee Guy on the stairwell while Marie Sawchuk is walking by. We had members of, Recycled Percussion in this party. We had all these dancers at this party. There was like all these various entertainers. I think one of the guys from Human Nature was at this party. There was all these people. And I texted Scott and I said, this is the greatest party ever. I wait for it to go through and I see his response and he starts laughing. He goes, you're right, the greatest party ever. So ever since then, we've been calling it the greatest party ever.
Well, I mean, but what I want to know is where are you going to find the room to live blog?
Well,
because it's like sardines in there.
It is like sardines. And I talked to Jeff last night. I saw him on Wednesday night. I saw him at Sky D. Miles' show at the Planet Hollywood at Sin City Theater, which was late and great. And Jeff was there, and I asked him about live blogging. I said, do you think it'd be possible? Oh, yeah, I can set you up. We can get you a little bureau there. Yeah, so he's going to make it happen. He's going to be a little
What's he
going to
do, like put up little like glass partitions, like the little Pope Mobile or something? Because literally, you're going to be like, you know those people in the glass when the dollar bill's flying, you try to catch him? That's going to be cats so that no one can bump into him.
I hope he tells me beforehand so I know how to dress.
I know, really, you need
it's
some
gonna
air.
It's going to look like
oxygen.
Remember Lucy in the Peanuts cartoon? That states me. Where she had the little psychiatric help 5 cents. It's going to look like that.
Yes, exactly.
I'm going to be set up that way.
Oh my God, I love it.
Come make some news.
It's going to be interesting.
So
definitely.
That's going to be my plan on Super Bowl Sunday, but it's been a long spell for my Niners to be in the game, and this is the team they're playing. Their DNA is your team. The Browns became the
Ravens. They're not the Browns. They're stolen Browns.
Their DNA does date to the land of the Cleves. And,
it does. It was basically the team that was stolen from Cleveland by Art Modell. And
the team?
Yeah, whatever.
I don't think you can steal something you own.
No, he stole it because he told the people of Cleveland.
He uprooted the team.
If you pass this law about passing this extra tax, I think it was for cigarettes and alcohol, I will keep the Browns in Cleveland. Well, the people love their Browns, and so
they
voted, and they kept, but we didn't have the Browns for a while. They voted, and they kept, and they approved it, and he still took the team anyway, and he was the number one most hated man in Cleveland history until LeBron James.
Well, you know another team that has their roots in Cleveland in the NFL is the Rams.
Really?
They were originally the Cleveland Rams. Yeah,
I did not know
that. Yeah, originally in the I don't know if they were the American Football League, American Football Conference, the All-American Football League. The Cleveland Rams, yes, they were in the... they were based in Cleveland before they moved to Los Angeles.
I didn't know that.
And now in St. Louis. So there are two teams now that
in Cleveland. The bottom line is...
But you guys got
shafted.
The people in Cleveland, the sports fans in Cleveland, as you know, as everybody who follows sports knows, they are second to none in their devotion for their teams. And they got rooked.
And we used to be there all the time in the playoffs. And we really haven't done... Since
Bernie
our
Kosar.
Expansion team. Yes, sidearm throw.
Brian Sipe.
Oh, I had such a crush on Brian's life. Bill Belichick said of Bernie Kosar, diminishing skills. Well, I do believe he was a little bit of a non-good sportsman when your team beat his team. That's all I'm going to say.
There is a lot of history. And the both these franchises, the history of both of them over time is pretty pretty impressive. And we are, Colin Kaepernick is our quarterback now for the 49ers. He's a tremendous talent. It's been a wild ride with him this season. And I am hoping that
what's the point spread as of right
it's,
now?
The Niners are favored by 4. I don't know what the total is right now. I haven't looked that up. But the 49ers are favored anywhere between 3.5 and 4.5 points. They opened at 5. It's going to be a very hard-hitting game.
It's going to be a crazy weekend in Vegas because Vegas gets crazy Super Bowl weekends.
I had a friend of mine I went to high school with I haven't talked to in years say, I've got a party of us all coming down. 12 of them want to have ask me about Super Bowl parties. Yeah, that kind of thing happens around the Super Bowl. So
yeah, that and like New Year's, like they're like, I'm like, oh yeah, sure, I'll get you taken care of whatever club you want. I'm like, are you crazy?
I know, I don't talk to this guy ever during the year, and all of a sudden a dozen of them are coming down.
Well, good luck to your team. I hope your team wins.
Yes, I do too. Okay, we need to get to something totally unrelated to NFL, and that's Liberace.
Kind of are polar opposites.
It's kind of polar opposite. We have sitting with us shortly is Brian Paco Alvarez. He's the chairman of the Liberace Foundation. He's going to be talking all about the move they're planning to Neonopolis. It's a very interesting move and has nothing to do with the Super Bowl. So stick around. I know we will.
I'm Kyle Lauder.
I'm Justin Mortolitti.
I'm Carrie St. Louis from Rock of Ages, and you're listening to Cats with the Dish.
Yeah! What am I doing with my life? I'm so pale. I should get out more. I should eat better. My posture is terrible. I should stand up straighter. People would respect me more if I stood up straighter. What's wrong with me? I just want to connect. Why can't I connect with people? Oh, right. It's because I'm dead.
That's Nicholas Holt as the self-aware zombie known as R in the new movie Warm Bodies. I'm Josh Bell, film critic for Las Vegas Weekly, with a look at what's new in theaters this week. Warm Bodies features R, the zombie, falling for and kidnapping a human hottie named Julie, played by Teresa Palmer. And the two of them form an unlikely bond that also starts to rekindle R's humanity, as well as that of all the zombies in this post-apocalyptic world. Genuinely heartfelt, if sometimes irredeemably cheesy, Warm Bodies takes a refreshing approach to both the zombie and the teen romance genres. I give Warm Bodies 3 stars out of 5. Also opening this week is Stand Up Guys, a comedy drama featuring Al Pacino, Christopher Walken, and Alan Arkin as 3 aging criminals together for one last night of reliving the good old days.
You did your time like a man, Val. You were stand up all the way.
You and Doc would have done the same.
Well, I would like to think so.
It's possible. Either way is possible. But you did it, Val. True.
The experienced stars in Stand Up Guys are working on autopilot here, and Arkin's part is so small that it's basically a glorified cameo. The story mixes lame jokes, including an extended Viagra bit, with contrived sentiment, both clumsily and ineffectively. It's neither an amusing caper comedy nor an affecting look at the regrets of old age. I give Stand Up Guys 2 stars out of 5. That's a look at what's new in theaters this week. Check out my reviews in Las Vegas Weekly and online at joshbellhateseverything.com.
Well, I'm just a devil with a lot of despair, so viva Las Vegas! Viva!
Welcome back. Sitting with us now is the chairman of the board of the Liberace Foundation. The Liberace Museum, as you probably know, closed in October 2010. This is in the face of visitation numbers that fell from a high of 450,000 down to 35,000 in 2009. But this week it was announced the museum is reopening and planning a move to Neonopolis in downtown Las Vegas. Why is the museum relocating? When? What will we see? What does this mean to the Liberace brand? Here to talk about all that is Brian Paco Alvarez, one of the overlords of downtown Las Vegas. Welcome
Yay!
To Cats at the Dish.
Welcome.
Thank you,
man, we call Paco.
Thanks,
I'm winded from that introduction.
I know. That was good, but it was good. I enjoyed it.
I got to ask, Paco, you know downtown better than probably anybody. You're native Las Vegan. You know all about the growth and the development down there. You know a lot about this city. I know you studied it. Why are you taking the Liberace brand into a place that has had a tough time succeeding in a number of ways, business-wise, into Neonopolis?
A lot of people have asked me that, mm-hmm. and you know, the Neonopolis has had a checkered past. You know, it's had its ups. I remember when it just opened up, and it was this great venue, and mm-hmm. then it had its decline. Unfortunately, it was just too soon and too aggressive of a project for when it was built 10 years ago. But, you know, with the resurgence of downtown over the last several years, especially over the last year, mm-hmm. The time couldn't be more perfect. And with Denny's moving in to Neonopolis, Drink and Drag.
Yeah, Drink and Drag is really popular. I've been there a few times, and I'm one that, you know, it never leaves my block pretty much unless I have to. I mean, I pretty much, like, if you ask me to go to Summerland, I'm like, you might as well say Florida. But I mean, I have found myself, who never went downtown, going downtown more frequently. So it kind of, I mean, it really is. I have friends that live in, you know, apartment buildings right downtown, which was never, I never had anybody that was lived there before. I mean, it really is kind of becoming the new hip happening place.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of energy down there. You mentioned Drink and Drag. Crave is going to opening.
Absolutely.
You know, Heart Attack Grill, I think you meant. If you didn't mention, absolutely. It's down there near Italian.
Luna Rosa. There's a lot of activity.
And the jewelry store, the Del Prado family jewelers from the original set of businesses.
And there's another museum over there. There's the Southern Nevada Museum of Fine Art.
Right.
It's been there for many years.
So you have all this activity going around there, and it's kind of organic, and you tap into that.
Yes.
And how did this relationship between you and Rohit Joshi, who heads up the real estate team that owns Neonopolis, how'd you guys get together?
You know, it was serendipity. It happened about 7 years ago. I was the interim curator of the Neon Museum, and
which is fabulous, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Another thing that's kind of near downtown, just a little bit.
Yeah.
Just a little bit north.
Yeah, Paco was part of that.
And
uproot too.
They had, you know, the Neon Museum worked with the city back in the 1990s to install a lot of the historic signs on 3rd Street, Fremont Street, and then, of course, the Horse and Rider right there on Las Vegas Boulevard. Well, one of the signs from the Neon Museum, which is the 5th Street Liquor sign, mm-hmm. or 5th Street Liquor Store sign,
liquor store.
Was actually inside of Neonopolis in the courtyard. And, you know, Neonopolis is all neon, and especially the elevator shaft is all neon from Southern California. Well, the one piece that they had from Las Vegas was the 5th Street Liquor Store sign. And we, at the Neon Museum, we needed to make sure that they knew we owned that sign. And so that's how the communication started. I had actually sent an email to Lorraine Kusuhara, who is Rohit's wife.
They're married.
They are.
Okay.
And they, one thing led to another. Next thing, my former boss, Nancy Diener, in the Office of Cultural Affairs, her and I sat down. We were in the restaurant there at Jillian's. And next thing you know, a relationship started. And we actually kept in touch over many, many years. And it was about 2 years ago that Scott Dickensheets, who is mm-hmm. a local reporter.
Yep. Editor of City Life.
Yeah.
Now, former editor of Las Vegas Weekly. I worked with him for a long time. Mm-hmm.
He was tipped off by another downtowner called David Figler. David and I were having a conversation inside the Beat Coffee House. And I said, wouldn't it be great to create like a Las Vegas Entertainment Emporium at Neonopolis, like where it would be just like museums and attractions and these kind of quirky little carnival rides and all this weirdness. And he went and told Scott. Next thing you know, I get a phone call from Scott, and he wants to write this whole article. And next thing you know, he dubs it Museumopolis. So Rohit calls me. He says, we got to make this happen. And I'm like, God, I just came on board at the Liberace Foundation, I didn't even have our second meeting yet before I ended up writing this article, and I'm like, God, I'm gonna get kicked off the board. You know, and the rest is history. And so we kept a line of communication going, and the board at that time was just not ready. They had just closed the museum. They were still dealing with a lot of fallout from that. You know, they were just not, there was just no way it was going to happen then.
Well, I mean, can you tell me a little bit about it? Because, of course, we all knew that that the Liberace Museum closed down. And it was something that really was a treasure in town. I mean, it was something that, I mean, to go and eat there at the restaurant, I always forget, Carluccio's?
Yeah.
It's Carluccio's. Mm-hmm. And just the whole thing about the, you know, that literally that was where Liberace ate and hung out, and then the giants, the space and that beautiful corner there. I mean, it was one of those things that was it was literally part of Las Vegas. And so what happened? Was it just that the rent was too high? Was it the economy tanked? What was it that factored into that?
Various factors. One, the economy definitely hurt. A little bit of mismanagement also, you know, as far as you know, not implementing austerity measures when things were really getting bad. You know, they were overstaffed. They could have closed the museum a couple days a week, you know, like they do in other museums around mm-hmm. the country. They really needed to cut back, and they just didn't do that. What they did is they felt that, you know, maybe if we spent more money on marketing, we could do these things, maybe we could bring in more visitors, and it just didn't pan out.
Do you think if the museum had stayed open with these austerity measures, Paco, I've always wanted to ask you this, that you'd be looking to move it today? Do you think it would have survived at that location with 35,000 visitors a year, if that?
No, it would have had to move. And the idea of moving the museum from their current location has been an ongoing thing since Lee died in 1987. I mean, this has been something that has been planned out. Actually, the foundation in the archives has other plans about developing a freestanding museum on Las Vegas Boulevard at one time back mm-hmm. in the 80s. Mm-hmm. And then there were these options with working with some of the hotels, Town Square also.
Town Square was a big rumor for a while, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And ultimately what they decided to do was to remodel the plaza and create the new entrance that with the big giant rhinestone.
Yes, yeah.
And
which is beautiful.
Yeah, and then create the music wall. And there was other plans to actually put the museum under one roof instead of these two buildings. But
at one point, I heard that there was a lot of Liberace merchandise that was being sold, but the stuff that was more museum-type pieces, but that was from his home. That was nothing that you had, correct? So, in other words, everything that you had in the museum wasn't getting sold off. There was a lot of people in town that, I bought gates from Liberace, or I bought a door that was Liberace's. Was that all from his home? I mean, it kind of became Liberace memorabilia thing in town.
There was a very, very big auction that took place in L.A. When Lee died. About a year after Lee died. And when Lee passed away, I mean, he had seven houses. I mean, he had lots of property. And his houses were full of just stuff. I mean, he didn't throw anything away. I mean, mm-hmm. if fans gave him something and he didn't have room, he'd buy another house to fill it up. I mean, this was how he was. So they had this auction, and his family and the executors of the estate picked and chose the best pieces, or what they felt were the best pieces, to put into the museum.
Okay.
And
mm-hmm.
so, yes, mm-hmm. There are a lot of things out there that have been sold, you know, that were sold at auction. I mean,
but it wasn't the things that you had in the museum that closed recently. You still have all of those things?
Everything, well, since I came on board in October of 2010 to today, nothing's been sold.
Okay.
There was a desk sold, mm-hmm. Which is a point of controversy. I mean,
There was a desk.
It wasn't just any desk.
It was a really beautiful antique desk.
And how it was handled was outrageous. And I, as chairman of the foundation, will say that I was incensed.
But there's been no parceling out of costumes or vehicles or anything like that.
Absolutely not.
For the course of time from the museum's collection, right? Except for that desk.
Right. And I will say this on the record. From the time when I worked at the museum as the collections manager who took care of artifacts between 2000 and 2003. I departed the foundation in July of 2003. Between that time and the time the museum closed, and now with our new collections manager, Melanie Coffey, who's taking care of the collection, I had inquired about artifacts, and there were things that have come up missing from the collection. So that's something else that we're investigating.
Well, give us an example of what's missing.
Well, one of the things, no jewelry, because that was all under camera.
What's missing?
You know, the sterling silver sled Liberace loved Christmas. He was a very strict Roman Catholic. He loved Christmas. He loved going
yay
to church.
Yay for the Catholics. I'm a Catholic. I'll say yay.
Yay.
And, you know, Greek Orthodox. I'll give it up for that.
He had a shrine to St. Anthony in his home.
Which is very ironic because it's a patron of finding lost things.
Yeah, exactly. And he had during the holidays, he would put out this beautiful sled with the reindeer. It was this massive sled. And it was, you could put fruits in it or you could put bottles of wine. I mean, it was very lovely. It was sterling, so it was an antique. and we have not been able to locate it.
Oh, that's heartbreaking.
And you know, there's things like that which are, it's frustrating, mm-hmm. because there was a vacuum between the time I left and the time we hired Melanie, a professional museum collections manager.
Yes.
I mean, I was the first one, and then, well, we actually had a curator before that, and then she left, and then I came on board, and then from the time I left to the time we hired Melanie, there was just no one qualified to take care of the museum collections. I mean,
yes.
there were people that did access the collection, people on contract or professionals that knew how to do it, but they never hired a curator or a collections manager, which is like the most important thing
yes,
that you need if you're going
to
have a collection.
Check everything
like
in
index
and
everything.
Make sure index
mm-hmm.
everything
yeah.
in.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
mm-hmm.
I have any of your Roman Catholic friends pray to St. Anthony and maybe the sled will be returned.
Amen.
I got to do this. You're listening to Cats with a Dish. John Katzelmeadis with Tricia McCrone. We're talking with Liberace Foundation Chairman Brian Paco Alvarez. Let's shift this into the here and now, Paco. What are we going to see at the Liberace, what we're calling the Liberace Experience for the time being? It's going to be open hopefully by January of next year, right?
Hopefully sooner.
On the outside, 9 months to a year, I think
yeah,
you said.
Yeah.
What are we going to see? We're going to go down to Indianapolis and
you're not
pay
gonna
to go
see,
in, and what's going to happen?
What you're not going to see is everything on exhibition mm-hmm. like it was before. You're going to see basically the best of the best.
So you're going to have to really pick and choose what...
It's going to have to be curated, yeah, definitely. It's going to have to be really well curated. And you know, I mean, when you have 8 cars and 18 pianos and 50 costumes and antiques and, you know, 2 dozen chandeliers and God knows how many candelabras, we definitely, plus Emmys, he's got Emmys yeah, and more awards than you can imagine. We are definitely going to have to curate a collection that's both going to talk about history of Liberace and his family, but also celebrate his stage presence. I mean, you know, a mirrored Rolls Royce. I mean, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We're going to have
a
that.
A mirrored Beetle and a matching yeah, mirrored
exactly,
little Beetle.
Yeah, we're going to have the car. We're not going to have all 8 cars on exhibition. We'll probably have 4.
Oh,
you
wow.
Know, we won't have
that's
all 18 pianos. Yeah. We'll probably have half of those.
It's about half the size, right?
Yeah. Roughly, yeah, absolutely.
Footage. Now, these are many of these items, and I know this because you've talked to me about this many times, are very delicate, especially the costumes. They're very mm-hmm. temperamental. They have to be cared
they're
for.
Temperamental.
They are
the temperamental.
They're
costume.
Temperamental, like we all are
exactly,
at an occasion, and we are suspect and sensitive to the wrong climate. Let's put it that
right,
way. They have to be in a certain climate. Now, one of the complaints about Indianapolis, as you know, is it didn't have proper air conditioning in there. That the people who ran the theaters were complaining about.
Really,
that.
I didn't
people
hear
who ran,
this.
Ran yeah, restaurants in this place have complained about it. People who tried to put shows in there have complained about it. Where do we stand on the climate control issues, especially that air conditioning thing? Because you don't want. I know you don't want costumes in 115 degree heat.
No,
anywhere.
Any artifacts, for
right,
that matters.
Where do we stand on that? I know it's very important.
I believe they're over that. I think that now that they've gone over that situation, now that there's tenants actually paying rent and actually being able to support the building. I would never consider moving to any space, whether yeah, it's Indianapolis or anywhere, that didn't have climate control, especially for our artifacts, the pianos in particular that are very sensitive to heat and, you know, hot and cold.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The costumes, the same thing. The important thing with the costumes is making sure that the lighting doesn't do irreparable damage.
Yes.
You know, that's the thing.
Okay, I have to ask you a question about the costumes. Now, you've been around them a lot. Just honestly, you've tried 1 or 2 on. Come on, you have. You had to have.
No, but I will admit one thing. It was, God, I will admit one thing. When did it happen? Actually, it was a capelet. Liberace had a capelet, which is, it's a capelet comes down to your waist. And it had a rainbow on it, interestingly enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I had...
Maybe he was showing his cards then.
There
yes,
was,
I don't think anybody figured that out, Becca.
There was a photographer who happens to own the Arts Factory downtown. His name is Wes Isbett,
uh-huh,
or Wes Miles.
Wes Miles.
Yeah, and he...
They're the same person.
We hired him back in 2001 to do our whole marketing campaign. Well, him and several of his associates, but he's the one who came in and took photos of the collection. So we have a lot of these beautiful photos that Wes took many, many, many years ago. And there was a capelet that we had in the collection, and actually the great thing about this capelet, it's it had a matching jumpsuit and the shoes, so it's and all rainbows all around it.
Oh, how beautiful!
And
is this?
I just kind of had my gloves on. I kind of just draped it over like
there
this
you go.
To carry it out. That's all I did. All I did with absolute reverence. But no. The costumes are far, far too delicate for anyone to wear. Though,
but I would think it would be tempting because they're just so flashy and so beautiful, just looking at you to just. Slip one on, but
I respect you.
I respect your professionalism.
Absolutely.
But you're a better man than I but because I would have probably tried to slip one on.
I do want to tell you, you know, some of those costumes were sold during auction in 1988. And I know some of the people that actually own those costumes. There's a guy, a friend of mine, his name is G. And Dale Gonzalez, and he is a Liberace aficionado, and he has several of Liberace's furs. He loves wearing furs.
And has he worn them out?
He has, and he has come to Las Vegas with all of his jewels and has worn. I mean, this guy's over the top. I mean,
wow.
I need to meet him. I would be friends
with him.
Yeah, I know.
No, I would just want to be friends and hang out.
You should see his rings. He's got replicas of Liberace's rings and all that. And he's just an amazing pianist, and he's an amazing person.
Well, I mean, speaking of now, is this kind of moving into Neonopolis and this whole kind of resurgence of the memorabilia of Liberace? Is it is this timing coinciding on purpose with the movie with Michael Douglas and Matt Damon that's coming out?
No, absolutely not. No, absolutely. Of course. Yeah. There is this momentum, and it's not just the movie. It's also the musical that's being planned in New York City. There is a one-man play that's being produced or soon to be produced in Milwaukee with the Milwaukee Repertory Theater, excuse me. And, you know, there is this, and then CeeLo. CeeLo with his Liberace.
End of the month, Liberace.
Yeah,
so February 27th.
There's some energy out there, and you know, why not make the announcement? I mean, it puts fire under the board's butt to really get going. And we've had support from Kelly Murphy over at Crave. Mm-hmm. He's really helping us out in all this, as is Rohit Joshi or Joshi. Plus, we have a lot of people downtown that are very excited about this. I mean, you know, cautiously optimistic.
Yeah.
You know, because we are going through this Chapter 11 bankruptcy. We still have to get this approved by the courts before we can sign any contracts. You know, there's that process.
How long do you think that'll take, Paco?
It's all depending on how quickly we can sell the plaza.
Mm-hmm.
That's our goal, is to sell the plaza. I mean, that is the greatest asset, I guess, Liberace could have left us besides his costumes and is that plaza. And we really need to sell it so we can pay off the debt.
Will it go up on public auction or is it still in private sale? I mean, how is that?
No, just commercial sale,
commercial
like anything
sale?
Else.
Okay.
It doesn't need to go up on auction.
So it's not that kind of a bankruptcy where you have to...
No, we don't. We're fortunate that the plaza's worth more than the debt.
Gotcha.
You know.
Yeah.
How's the tenant occupancy at the plaza these days? I know the restaurant moved out several months ago.
They moved out a year ago,
yeah.
We won't talk about that.
They uprooted.
Pending,
middle of the night.
Pending litigation.
the restaurant.
Which was wrong. I really am not happy with what Carluccio's did. I think.
Yeah, it was
I think
main
it was
state
really,
too, yeah.
really, and you know, this is my hometown, you know, and I'm going to say it. It's really stinky what they did.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they could have worked with us, but, you know, we'll let the courts decide.
Yeah.
But part of the charm of that restaurant, though, was that it was that whole Liberace connection. So, I mean, you know, and going somewhere else, I'm not sure if it would be such a place to go to as it was when it was in that place, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, no, I mean, the thing is the location.
Yeah.
And that's going to be the most difficult thing for us to do, is to actually leave what is a historic location. But ultimately, we have to think about the bigger picture here, and that's Liberace.
Right. Well, with that, Paco, we're gonna close the curtain. Here on the conversation, it's great to see you again, talk to you, and all, you know, you're an expert on all things Las Vegas. And right now, the focus is on Liberace. What's right now called the Liberace Experience is going to be open between 9 and 12 months at Neonopolis on the corner of Las Vegas Boulevard and Fremont Street. Thank you. We're going to do this again closer to when it does open, and
right.
I'm counting
Thank
on
you.
It opening. Maybe we'll bring you in here with Joshi.
Yay!
Sounds good.
Thanks much.
Thanks.